Recording. Well, welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. This is the first week of the winter term, and so we will be meeting once again on Tuesdays from noon to 12:25. And we're continuing to read through Galatians, St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we are in chapter 5 and beginning at verse 15. So this is a good vocab exercise once you get to these lists of nouns, you know, what exegetes call sin catalogs. I always think that's kind of a funny name for them, especially during the Christmas shopping season. I hope we're all doing our patriotic duty and going into debt, you know, to save our country. All right, we'll pick up at verse 15. And this, again, in terms of the context of Galatians, this is really still at the beginning of kind of the exhortation or the hortatory section of the letter. In verse 13, Paul has commanded the believers, having been set free, to become slaves to one another, right? A striking turn of phrase. So, verse 15, Paul writes, Eide alelus dakneta kai kat estheta. Blepeta me hip alelon analotheta. So we have a conditional sentence, A plus a couple of indicative verbs, followed by an imperative, which could be an indicative, but in context is a command. So we have if and if. Now, docneta is a great verb. You have to look it up, because I don't know if it ever occurs anywhere else in the New Testament, but at least it's regular. So what dictionary would this be from? Docnete, just from docno, right? Just like it looks. It means to bite, okay? And it's just the present indicative active second person plural, right? Like luete or something like that. So if you bite one another, alelus is the reciprocal pronoun. It's accusative, the direct object. If you bite one another and kat estheta, this is, as you can see, from kat estheo. Estheo means to eat. Now, sometimes when you put kata in the front of a verb, well, there are two things that it can do, or it can do something else for that matter, but sometimes it will retain the meaning of down, like bino means to go, kata bino means to go down, right? Sometimes, however, kata on the front of a verb sort of intensifies the basic meaning, and that's what it's doing here. So estheo is to eat, kat estheo is devour. Okay, so it intensifies the meaning. And that's what we have here as it's normally translated. So if you bite one another and devour, comma. And now blepeta is just from our good friend blepo, and it could be a present indicative, but it's taken here as an imperative. See, or maybe watch out. Right? And now may, and then you track to the end of the verse, analotheta, whatever the heck that is from, it's a verb, and it's a subjunctive. May plus the subjunctive by itself can express negative purpose. And so you translate lest. So watch out, lest, and analotheta. Now, if anybody knows what this is from, you get an A in all of your courses this term. I'm feeling fairly safe in saying that. Believe it or not, it's from analisko, which is a verb that you have to look up. And it means, it can come to mean destroy, and here with the biting and devouring image, it's often translated be consumed. It's an aorist subjunctive passive. You see the theta eta, second person plural, right? So watch out lest you, plural, be consumed, hip alelon, by one another. Okay. So guess what? The Galatians are similius to et peccator, like everybody else, and Paul has to warn them against fighting one another. I encountered this in Estonia one time, but that's a long story, I just realized, and that's not Greek, so never mind about that. If anybody edits this, they can take that part off. Good. Any questions? So just A plus the indicative followed by an imperative. It would be called, what, a present particular conditional sentence. Something like that. Good. questions about verse 15? All right, very good. Verse 16, this is familiar territory. Lego de pneumate peripateta kai epithymion sarkos ume teleseta. Paul begins, and I say, or but I am saying, peripateta, you can see the circumflex over the diphthong, it's from peripateo. Again, it could be an indicative, but translated here, same form as an imperative. And it's a present imperative, so, you know, walk or maybe go on walking, something like that. Pneumate is just the dative of spirit, and it's there's some debate actually on how to translate this, because if you translate it as by the spirit, then the spirit is almost envisioned grammatically, at least, as kind of an impersonal means, and that makes Trinitarian people nervous, right? I don't think it would be necessarily wrong to translate by the spirit, but if you just translated it as a dative of reference, so walk in relation to the Spirit, or walk in the Spirit, that might be conceivably a better translation. So an imperative, walk in the Spirit. Kai here then introduces a result, what will follow from that. And this is actually of some importance because the English translations vary. We've got our friend Ume plus teleseta, which is from teleo, which means to complete or reach a goal. And it's the aorist subjunctive active second plural. You can see the long connecting vowel in the eta there. So ume plus the aorist subjunctive, the no way Jose construction, emphatic negation. Right? Now notice that it's not an imperative. It functions here more as a promise. Paul says, walk in the Spirit, and you will certainly not bring to completion, bring to the goal, the epithymion, the desire of the flesh. And if you wanted to label that genitive modifier, which of course I always want to, it would probably be a subjective genitive, what the flesh is desiring, right? Now, just to pause here theologically just for a second, I think it's important that Paul says, you will certainly not complete. See? Because he's about to say that the spirit and the flesh are warring against one another. Right? He knows full well that Christians sin all the time. But what he also knows is that the spirit helps us in the battle so that what the flesh desires doesn't go all the way to its final telos. All the way to its final goal. In fact, we had a terrific sermon this morning from Dr. Seleska in chapel about that very promise of the Spirit who causes us to die and rise, well, not just daily, but, you know, many times a day. So if you're listening to this on iTunes U, why don't you be sure and access the chapel sermon for Tuesday, December 2nd. So, walk in the Spirit, and you will certainly not bring to its goal or complete the flesh's desire, what the flesh desires. Good. Questions about any of that? Pretty straightforward, I think. Yes?
The teleseta?
Mm-hmm.
Why is walk in the Spirit and do not. Why is it not a... I thought that it was possible as a emphatic noun. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, well it is. This will not happen, right? That's
okay.
What Paul is saying.
It's a statement, it's not a command.
Exactly. Now it's interesting, I think the RSV, one of the major translations actually translates it as a command. So walk in the Spirit and don't complete the desire of the flesh, or something like that. I think that's actually, every translation is an interpretation, I suppose. But that actually misses part of the point. And the reason why I think that is because Paul then explains in verse 70, he begins with gar. And he talks about the flesh desiring and the spirit desiring. And again, he knows that the battle goes on, but he knows that the Spirit will not allow us who are no longer under the law, as he says in a minute, to, again, to teleo. It's not that we won't play with, it's not that we won't manifest, but he says you won't teleo. You won't bring it to its final goal. So, good. Okay, let's move on to verse 17. Hagar sarx epithume kata tu pneumatas. Tada pneuma kata te sarkas. Tauta gar alelois antiketai. Hiname ha an theleta tauta poieta. So, for, now we have the subject right up front, which is handy. For the flesh, now we have epithumeo, epsilon contract. And that's one of those verbs that can be have either a positive or a negative sense, right? And here, since flesh in the theological sense is the subject, has a negative sense. For the flesh desires, kata plus the genitive means down or against, right? For the flesh desires against the spirit. And flesh here, again, in Paul is sort of I was going to say the faithful remnant, the unfaithful remnant of sin, the old Adam that still lives, and I suppose especially in believers. And the spirit here is probably the Holy Spirit. So for the flesh desires against the spirit, tada, and the spirit. Now we don't have to repeat the verb, because the Greek likes to leave out as much as it possibly can. For this, and the spirit, so repeat the verb, desires against the flesh. And now let's explain that a little bit. Tautaga, for these things, antiketai, this is just from kemai, which means to lie, with ante on the front of it, and that means to lie in opposition, or to be opposed. So these ones are opposed, and now this verb takes a dative object, to one another. So flesh, spirit, they simply lie in opposition to one another. And what's the purpose for that opposition? This is an interesting statement. In order that, now we have may, and then we have to go looking for the verb. Now there are two verbs here, and they both happen to be subjunctive. But theleta is off limits, because it's in the relative clause. It's in the little clause that begins with the relative pronoun ha, right? So ha ean theleta is a little clause, it's like it's got brackets around it, so you have to keep going. The verb of the henna clause, the main verb of the henna clause, is actually poieta at the very end. In order that you may not do, or make, from poieo, just a present subjunctive. Now, what is it that you may not do? Tauta, these things, and now you pick up the relative clause that's in the middle. Ha, aeon, theleta. Whatever, whichever you wish, if I can say it that way. Which is it? People sometimes ask. Let's go back and pick up that gar clause. For these things are in opposition to one another, in order that you may not do these things whichever you wish. Now, which one is it? That you don't do the things that the Spirit wants you to do, or you don't do the things that the flesh wants you to do? And I think the answer is yes. That's the nature of the battle, right? And so in that sense, it can be very encouraging. At least I think it's supposed to, it can be encouraging, that in pastoral practice, I mean, this is a good thing to say to people who are struggling with the fact that they're still struggling. You say, well, you have to deal with everything on a case-by-case basis, but the very fact that you're struggling is a sign of life. It's a sign that the spirit and the flesh are warring against one another. So let's go back and do that whole mess again. Excuse me, that whole inspired verse again, verse 17. For the flesh desires against the spirit, and the spirit desires against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order that you may not do, plural, these things, whichever you wish. Okay? All right. Questions? Comments? Isn't Greek a great language? I mean, the verbs and nouns, the nouns decline, you can tell it. I mean, Hebrew is just so hard to deal with. I usually say that when one of the Old Testament guys is sitting, and I always give Celeste a hard time when he's under. So. All right, verse 18. Verse 18 is supposed to be, I think, great comfort. Eide pneumate agesta, uk esta hippa naman. And if you, plural, are being agoed, right? Agesta is just a present indicative, could be middle, generally taken as passive. If you are being led in the Spirit, you are not under the law. See, so there's the struggle that's going on. Everybody knows about it. Does this mean that I am under the law and that I'm still having to measure up in the sight of God? And the answer is no, it doesn't. See, and so that for Christians that are struggling, again, with the fact that they're in the struggle, I mean, this is a very, I think at least can be a very comforting promise. So, and it's very simple, just A plus the indicative, and then just another indicative, so another present particular, or as I think some of the grammars call it, first class conditional sentence. So not hard to translate just the way it looks, except it's in Greek. So, all right. Okay, and now we get vocab time. So why don't we start at verse 19, and we got to go all the way through actually the end of verse 21. And yes, I brought my dictionary. I think I remember what all these words mean. Verse 19, phanera de esten ta erga te sarkos. Let's do that part. The works of the flesh, esten, are. Now notice that esten is singular, but ta erga is neuter plural. And you may remember, at least on a good day, that neuter plural subjects typically take singular verbs in Greek. That's why it's esten and not asen. So, the works of the flesh are phanera, evident, manifest. And here's what they look like. Hatina, this is that funny little word. It's actually from, believe it or not, hostis. It just acts like a relative pronoun. And you parse, when this one declines, you parse both the hos part and the tis part. So the, don't go out the window, Dave. The hos part parses to ha, which would be neuter plural nominative. And the tis part also parses to tina, which would be neuter plural nominative. Right? So, I don't think this word existed in Greek before the fall. So, which things are, and notice again, neuter plural, singular verb. And now here are the things. Porneia, akatharsia, aselgeia, eidolalatria, pharmakeia, ekthrai, eris, zelos, thymoi, erithei, dikastasiai, arese, hyresis, thunoi, methai, are you depressed yet? Komoi, kai ta hamoia tutois. Maybe I can stop there. So it's vocab time. Porneia is kind of the general word for sexual immorality. Akatharsia means uncleanness. Aselgeia means to live as if you have a license to do whatever you want. Hence the old-fashioned word, anybody? Licentiousness. Now, nobody ever uses that word anymore, but I actually looked it up in the dictionary. But I think it means to live as if you think you have a license to do whatever you want. Then verse 20, idolatry, right? Pharmakeia actually means poisoning people or witchcraft, because potions and such are used in the practice of witchcraft. It doesn't mean going to Walgreens. Right? And then ekthrai means hatreds. Eris is singular, interesting. Strife. Zelos can mean zeal in a positive sense, but also means jealousy. Now it's interesting, notice that there's a variant reading on both eris and zelos. You have the string of plural nouns in the nominative, and these two are singular, so you might expect that the scribes found this funny, and in fact the variant reading just simply makes plural both those words. It doesn't affect the translation much. So strife, jealousy, Themoi is an interesting word. Themos actually originally means spirit or breath. And it comes to refer to sort of heartfelt inner emotions and desires. I think in the New Testament it's almost always, if not always, negative. And it means wrath of all things. But it can actually have a positive meaning elsewhere in Greek literature. I didn't look up all the uses, but I know it basically as a synonym for orge, for anger, right? So, wraths, let's see. Then we have three kind of related nouns that have to do with being divisive. So, strifes, dissensions, factions, okay? And now we're finally in verse 21. Thunoi is envies, methai is drunkennesses, and komoi is literally beds. That probably is a reference to sexual behavior. And, kai, ta hamoia tutois, the like to these things, right? Or, as the systematicians like to say, and the like. Okay, I think the systematicians talk that way. So all these things are evident, and they are the works of the flesh. And then, we have just a couple of minutes left, Paul says, picking up there in kind of the middle of verse 21, ha prolego humin kathos praepon, hati hoi ta toi auta prasantes, basilean theu u kle ronamezuzen. So ha's the relative pronoun, which things I am saying ahead of time to y'all, you mean. Kathos, just as, proapon is just the aorist indicative prolego, just as I said before, that hoi ta toi ata prosantas. The proso means to practice or to do. And by the way, notice it's a present stem participle. I think that's of some importance. Those who go on, or those who uninterruptedly practice the such things, ta toi auta. This is from tas utas, another kind of a combined pronoun. Those who practice such things, God's basileia, God's reign, u kleronamezuzin, from klerona meo, which means to inherit. Right? Just the future indicative active third plural, will not inherit the reign of God. This is an end time reference, by the way. To inherit the reign of God always refers to the last day. It doesn't happen to you, in other words, when you die. It happens when you rise on the last day and stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So let's do verse 21. We'll just kind of review that, and then it'll be time to stop. So as Paul finishes the list, envies, drunkennesses, beds, and things like to these, which things I am saying in advance to you, just as I said in advance, that those who uninterruptedly practice such things will not inherit God's reign. And of course, that's kind of an unhappy place to stop. Right, have a nice day. Verse 22, of course, is the karpos tu pneumata, the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'll just mention that just to end on a somewhat more positive note. And we'll pick up at verse 22 next week. So, very good.